Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to the Raiders Insider Podcast on NBCSportsCalifornia.com. Introducing your host, Oakland Raiders Insider, Scott Baer.
Welcome, everybody, to this week's edition of the Raiders Insider Podcast, where we speak with tight end Derek Carrier about his offseason plans, including a free football camp in his small Wisconsin hometown of Edgerton and the time he spends helping underprivileged youth. But with training camp less than a month away, we also break down the state of the Raiders' offense after so many offseason upgrades and why there is a strong belief within the Silver and Black that they will make significant improvements in year two under John Gruden. Derek Carrier is a grinder who had to work hard for spots on an NFL roster, which is why he never takes a season for granted and appreciates the opportunity to help the Raiders thrive in 2019. It was an excellent, insightful conversation, and it starts right now. My guest on this week's Raiders Insider Podcast is tight end Derek Carrier, who is joining us at the very early portions of a rare down period in the NFL calendar. And Derek, how do you plan on spending the next couple weeks? Do you like to get away from football? Are you still training hard? What is the proper mix as you head towards training camp?
Yeah, I think for me, it's more of a mental vacation, so to speak. I like to always go back to Wisconsin, where I'm from, southern Wisconsin. Currently, right now, I'm actually in right outside of Chicago at my in-laws with our kids. But I still train hard. I still go through the playbook and everything. It's just kind of being in a different setting just to kind of mentally unwind that way. But coming up, I have a football camp that I'm doing, or that I'm participating, I should say, down in St. Louis with Fellowship of Christian Athletes. And that's tomorrow and Saturday. And then Sunday, I'm hosting my own football camp in my hometown of Edgerton, Wisconsin.
Yeah, which must be a cool thing to be able to go back to your hometown, which, you know, Edgerton, it's not like you're from the big city necessarily.
No, not at all.
But yeah, to go back to your hometown where you grew up and be able to give back to some of these kids, how cool of an experience is that in this, your second annual football camp back in Edgerton?
Yeah, it's a great experience. I think for me growing up, I knew there's a couple guys that were good players on like the varsity basketball team and the varsity football team when I was in elementary and middle school that I always looked up to. So I kind of think of, you know, being a mentor in that sense to kids and showing them that, you know, it doesn't really matter where you come from. As long as you're working hard and you stay dedicated, you know, you can accomplish your goals and your dreams. And going back, I just want to help encourage kids to stay active, to play football, if that's what they desire to do, and that it's fun doing it, and that sports themselves aren't necessarily a means to an end, but it's an avenue that you can use to help reach out and serve other people as well.
The thing that I really like about this, you know, is that it's free for these kids, that, that they can really get out. And you've also sponsored with Convoy of Hope, a charitable organization that, I believe after the main portion of the camp, they're going to be, giving away groceries, you know, children's shoes and socks to families in need. How cool is it to not only, you know, kind of give back to the kids in that athletic sense, but then also kind of set up a way to give back to the community at large?
Of course. I think, and there's another great organization that we're working with. It's Edgerton Outreach.
Okay.
And I mean, they do the similar thing as Convoy of Hope, but more or less just in the small community of Edgerton and the surrounding southern Wisconsin area. But I think it's just incredible. I touched on it a little bit earlier, but really it's just showing kids that, you know, athletics are great. And it's awesome to participate and compete, but really you can use it even on a bigger platform in the sense of being able to serve people through athletics. And I think once we're done with the camp, not only being able to serve those in need and to show that they're cared and they're cared for and loved by the community, but also showing the campers that, you know, at the end of the day, it's about giving back. It's about caring for others, your neighbors, and they get an opportunity to do that firsthand by helping package groceries and, you know, helping those in need try on different pairs of shoes, and there's going to be a meal served. So it's a great experience for everyone involved.
You've been representing Convoy of Hope and generally speaking underprivileged youth on your My Cause, My Cleats for several years. Kind of take me back to where you first got involved with Convoy of Hope and why this particular cause has been so important to you.
Of course. So it started in 2015 when I was a member of the San Francisco 49ers, and it was myself and a couple of very good friends of mine, Tank Carradine, Garrett Selick, and Vance McDonald, and our wives, and our pastor, Earl Smith, who's the team chaplain for the San Francisco 49ers. We ended up taking a mission trip to Haiti that was sponsored by Convoy of Hope. And we actually got to see how Convoy of Hope went into Haiti and helped empower the members of the community by teaching them how to farm. I believe it was lentils and grains, how to harvest, and then how to package them. They had a packaging and distribution center. So it not only taught them how to sustain, but also how to build a community in terms of, you know, being able to farm and profit from their harvest. And, you know, they would package these goods and then be able to ship them out, distribute them to those in need. So it was kind of like a helping hand, but then also teaching them how to do it in the process. And then from there, that's where it started, and it has grown to a relationship where we're trying to Kirk Noonan, who has been the head of pretty much my liaison with Convoy of Hope, but is working in the quote-unquote innovation lab. So we're just looking for other ways, especially through athletics, how to reach those in need, and that's kind of what we're doing Sunday.
Going back to this Haiti trip, that's obviously a very impoverished nation that's had a lot of natural disasters and setbacks in recent years. Was that a real moving experience to not only kind of see people that are struggling and fighting to make it, and then also to be able to help them? Because as you said, it's not just give somebody a fish, it's teach them how to fish, right?
Exactly.
You know, just that experience, did that really move you going down there?
Yeah, that definitely resonated with me. I think, and that's not to say that we don't have our problems here in the United States.
Exactly.
But I mean, at a different level, it's at a completely different level in a country like Haiti. So I think seeing it firsthand and, you know, just how people live on a day-to-day basis, and then being able to help them create something that's sustainable and that they can continue throughout the years is something that's incredible to see in person. And it's honestly, it's very empowering and motivational as well.
You know, and when you're talking to some of these, you know, kids at your football camp, especially in your hometown, it's that you can kind of be an example of a guy that's really never given up, right? And you really had to earn everything that you have right now, despite the fact that, you know, that your road to, you know, being a steady fixture on an NFL team has been, you know, a long one, from a Division III school up in your home state, Beloit College, you know, all the way through different practice squads, and, you know, getting cut by the Raiders, then practice squad with the Eagles. That whole experience, just generally speaking, really having to work and stay with it when maybe other people might have given up. What do you think that you learned about yourself kind of going through those trials?
I think one of the big points is resiliency. When you get knocked down, just get back up and keep fighting. And when, if you have a goal in mind, kind of just seeing it through to the end, and knowing at the end of the day, no matter what the outcome is, that I gave it my all. And I think for me, that's the message I try to send young kids and campers that I've experienced in the past. It's, you know, it's the problems and the trials and tribulations we face might be a little bit different, but at the heart, you can always draw on these things like being resilient in the face of trials and temptations, and you know, working through your problems and not giving up. And I think that's just an overall message that it applies no matter you know, where you're talking or speaking or who you're talking to. It's one of great application.
So you came into the league as an undrafted free agent back in 2012 with the Raiders, ended up making your NFL regular season game debut with the 49ers. What was that experience like, especially because it took a little while to get there? What did that really mean to you to finally suit up in a regular season game?
I mean, it was unreal. It was something that I had worked so hard for so long. And to finally see the fruit of that labor come to fruition, it was incredible. Honestly, for me, it was, once I got the taste of it, it was something that I didn't want to let go of. It's something that I wanted to continue to do.
And now, you know, now that you're with you're back with the Raiders, you know, as a tight end, you were a wide receiver back in 2012 when you were first trying to make the squad. What's it been like to come back, you know, over the last couple years, and really be, you know, a valued, counted on member of not only your position group, but of the offense and of the special teams, you know, to be so impactful in two areas?
I think for me, it's been fun. It's been just an amazing opportunity, because I think about where I was as a player my rookie year, and I really had no idea what to expect or what was going on. And to come back, last year, entering my seventh season, having grown so much as a player and a person, I just felt like, you know, like now I'm ready to be here, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And like I said, it's an awesome experience. And when you take a step back and look at it, I'm very thankful and appreciative for the opportunities that I've been given.
And you've moved around quite a bit, and you've been with your now wife since college, I believe.
Yep.
What's that experience like? Now you have two kids, right? And you've bounced around, you know, quite a bit. How's your family helped you kind of stay on the right path in terms of your career, despite the fact that you have maybe moved around more than most?
No, my wife, Dora, has been incredible. She's super supportive of the dream that I have, and that's playing in the NFL. And adding two kids to it, it's tough moving, but at the same time, the positives I look at it out of it is, it teaches me to be more sociable, to be outgoing, to approach people, to get into people's lives, because, I mean, sometimes it's a short period of time and sometimes it's longer. For example, when I was in L.A. with the Rams, I wasn't even there for a full year. I was there for a full season. Mm-hmm. But in terms of a calendar year there, I was only there for, you know, what, 8 months, maybe 6, 7, 8 months. And so it's just trying to be a good role model, having a good impact on the team in the short period of time that I'm there, or like I said, if it's longer, and just having a family and children that you can go back home to and they love on you and support you no matter what you do, it's encouraging. And just keep, for me, it just encourages me to keep pushing on.
If you count John Gruden, your current head coach, mm-hmm. the last three coaches that you've worked under are all pretty tight. Obviously Jay and John are brothers, and Sean McVay has been attached to the Grudens as family friends,
yeah,
for a long time now. Mm-hmm. Are there any kind of ties that bind those three guys? And do you think that it's helped you developmentally working under three respected offensive head coaches like that?
Of course, yes. Offensively, they're all very similar. I mean, obviously there's variations within the offense, but when you're talking about systems, the systems are very similar. So for me, I've been in the same offense for a while now, and as a player, that's very beneficial. You don't have to learn a whole new offense. You know what you're doing, even though you might switch teams. You know at the core what you're doing is what you've been doing in the past. And in terms of similarities between the coaches, they're all very personable. They're all like player first, player centric, and very approachable. And I think that's something that may or may not be overlooked, but it's something that I have a great appreciation for.
Getting to this year's Raiders team, what do you think that you learned about this offense? Obviously, there's been a lot of additions at the wide receiver spot and at running back. What do you think that you learned about this group over the last couple months?
I think it's super exciting. We've made a lot of moves to put us in a position to be successful. And as a player and being a part of that team, I think it's super encouraging. It brings excitement and a liveliness to the team that, you know, this is our year, and we're ready, and we have all the pieces that we need to make a move for the Super Bowl.
it is a different looking position group because there's no Jared Cook. There's no Lee Smith now. There are some new faces. Obviously, Darren Waller was a late addition and Foster Moreau. What is this position group kind of shaping up to be like? It seems to be pretty deep and pretty competitive.
Yeah, I think, you know, even though there might not be a lot of recognizable names, that I'm telling you firsthand, the talent is there and the ability is there. And I think we all bring something special to the table in terms of ability, whether it's blocking or pass catching or pass protecting or a combination of all three. And I think the talent in the room is great and that everyone contributes in their own way and that we complement each other very well.
You got a little taste of the postseason in 2017 with the Rams. It was an early exit, but getting to that level, once you get there, do you kind of hunger to get back to it? And is there optimism that, hey, man, we weren't very good last year, but we can flip the switch pretty quickly given the upgrades that we've made?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. I think when I entered the NFL, my first year, I didn't really know what to expect. But then once you get the hang of things, it's really like, okay, this is what it's about. Let's go win some games. And I think especially once you've been in the playoffs, the hunger to come back is there, and even now, so with our roster and with all the moves that we've made and the success that I've seen on the field throughout OTAs and practices, it's super encouraging and something that we're looking forward to training camp and especially during the regular season.
And then just one last question, and Derek, thank you so much for taking the time. But, you know, you bounced around to a lot of big cities and big markets, and you played on national television in huge games. What does it mean during these off-season periods, especially to be able to kind of touch base in your hometown to kind of, I don't know if it recalibrates, but like, what is that experience like? You know, you've been all over the place, you've played in different countries, but to just be able to be home for a while, is that a kind of nice thing considering how much you travel, how busy you are as an NFL player?
Yeah, I would definitely say recalibrates is a good way to describe it. It brings me back to my roots, kind of just where everything started, and just the small town. I mean, the town I grew up in, it's just about 5,000 people. So just kind of the values that, you know, you have in small town Midwestern America, you know, where no one locks their front door and everyone knows each other.
Yeah.
It's like that kind of being personable and open to other people. I think that is just definitely something that I enjoy getting back to. It's kind of like a breath of fresh air. Not that there's anything wrong with big cities, but just from what I've grown up with, it's nice to get back to my roots and kind of remember where it all started.
Well, hey, Derek, thank you so much for taking the time during the offseason. Best of luck with your football camp in the St. Louis area, and then also with yours coming up on June 30th. And I will be sure to catch up with you again around training camp. Again, thank you very much for the time.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks to everyone for downloading and listening to the Raiders Insider Podcast, and we sincerely appreciate Derek Carrier for joining us this week. You've been listening to the Raiders Insider Podcast, and if you haven't already, please visit Apple Podcasts or Google Play to subscribe. If you like our podcast, give us a 5-star rating and a review. You can follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at NBCS Authentic, and we will be back next week with another great guest. Thanks for listening, Raider Nation.
The Raiders Insider Podcast on NBC Sports California.com.